Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to begin our program. We have a very distinguished panel up here, and I just want everybody to know that we had plans for a grandiose panel up here. We invited, and of course we do, we invited several times City Clerk Ana Valencia, two Chicago aldermen, Alderman Napolitano and Alderman Beal.
I already have some.
They all declined to participate. We invited former Republican gubernatorial candidate Jeannie Ives to join us. She wanted to, but at the last minute, a scheduling conflict came up, so we're without those individuals. But we have a terrific panel today, and I just want to take a moment or two to introduce everybody, and then we'll open it up. I have a number of prompting questions, and please, no long-winded statements, no 20-minute orations, or, you know, we'll lower
okay,
the hook.
I promise I won't.
Okay. Keep them short, like your columns, okay, Cass?
All right.
Good to know that. Anyhow.
Somebody shut off my microphone.
Let me begin on my far right. I'd like to introduce to our audience Michelle Garcia, who is the Latino community organizer for Access Living. She has been working for Access Living as the Latino community organizer since 2009, and she's very interested in educating and collaborating with the Latino community about disability rights and services. In 2016, Michelle spearheaded the first national conference for Latinos with disabilities by bringing together Latino community organizers, service providers from across the country to speak about those important issues. So we're glad to have Michelle on our panel today. Next to Michelle, Mays Jackson, and his mother's here, right? Where are you at, Mrs. Jackson? Thank you.
For my mom.
Right. We're always glad when speakers bring their parents and their kids and relatives with them. Tremendous. Mays is a radio host on WVON. He's a political strategist, media personality, urban marketing pioneer, a diverse background of over 25 years of experience in the worlds of business, politics, and community engagement. You can hear Mays daily on WVON, 1690 on your AM dial.
Thank you.
And on the WVN morning show. He's also vice president of development at the Intelligence Group that is designed to create strategies to achieve the goals of their clients. So, Mays, thank you.
Thank you.
Next to Mays and between Mays and John Cass, Tanya Head, who is the consultant for women currently in the Cook County Jail. Tanya works with female prisoners who are about to be released, helps them with resources for housing, shelters, clothing, other basic needs that help them with their transition back into society. She's a graduate of Kennedy King College and now attending Northeastern University, working on her BSW in social work. Thank you. Thank you, Tanya.
Thank you.
Last but not least, John Cass. Doesn't need much of an introduction. But if you want to get that recipe for the beer can chicken in that, this
we're
is
so
the man.
Greek ribs. Greek ribs.
But
so beyond.
I have some very interesting information on John. He and his son, he's the son of a Greek immigrant grocer. John was born on the South Side, grew up there in Oak Lawn. He has held a number of jobs. Probably we've never heard of this before. Merchant marine sailor, a ditch digger, a waiter, film student at Columbia University in Chicago, worked for the Daily Calumet until he left for the Tribune in 1983. He lives in the western suburbs with his wife, his two sons, and if you want to know anything about the Chicago Fire, not the department, but the soccer team, you talk to John. Okay, so here we go. Municipal ID and so forth. Let me begin with Michelle, and we'll ask everybody to respond to this question. Who's it for, and why is it needed? Or not needed?
Can you hear me? Yes, okay. So the idea is for everyone. And why is it needed? Well, I'm only going to respond to these questions as for the work that I do. So in terms of who it's for, like we said, it's for everybody. And why it's needed, because for the at least for the population that I work with, it would grant them the possibility of accessing the supports and services that they so much need, given that these supports and services more often than not need an ID to receive the services. So many of them don't have an ID or don't have easy access to an ID.
And the maze, is it needed?
Not, I don't believe it's needed. We have state ID as well as we have the matricular. I think that the card is for, it's available to everyone, but it is really for an undocumented population that we are trying to prepare to be, in my estimation, have the opportunity to vote in Chicago as we try to replace the rapidly leaving population, particularly in the black community.
I understand that the first 100,000 cards are free.
Yes.
And after that, people are going to have to pay $5 or $10. Is that fair to the citizens of Chicago?
You know, I think you got to really look at it. I think it is really a high-priced marketing campaign for marketing and election campaign for the city clerk. I think that it really is just a high profile public opportunity, and when you give away the first 100,000, then you get to automatically claim it as a success, right? You say, hey, 100,000 people took this card, it's a success, right? But fundamentally, I just disagree.
Okay, and Tanya Head, your thoughts.
Hey, how y'all doing? My name is Tanya. How y'all doing today? All right. I believe that this ID will be is needed. My name is Tanya. I work for Target Area Development. I work with returning citizens when they come home from prison in Cook County Jail. I have been doing this work for almost 5 years. I'm working with these individuals every day, all day, sometimes 24/7. I'm on call. These individuals come home from prison in Cook County Jail. They don't have an ID. They don't have a birth certificate. They don't have a Social Security card. They sometimes don't even have their release papers. The release paper does have their picture on there, but sometimes they walk in these doors with nothing at all. And my job is to work with these returning citizens when they come home from prison in Cook County Jail, help them get a job, apply for housing, enroll in school, get a trade. Some individuals don't even have access or use a computer. So this is the need. I believe this is a need. They come home with nothing. So now they have to create a paper trail. They don't have nothing. So now they have to go to the emergency room, sit there for hours, and just to get a piece of paper with their name on there. Now they're creating a $1,000 medical bill that will be sent to their house because they don't have $20 to get a state ID. This ID will be great for the communities, for returning citizens when they come home. Actually, sometimes I come on my pocket to help individuals with an ID. I give them $20. I know that they're trying to, you know, go to school. They're trying to work. Why wouldn't I help these individuals out? 100%. that come home from prison in Cook County Jail don't have identification. 100%. And I'm working every day, all day with these individuals. The new position that I have now, I've been working almost a year. I've helped over 90 clients.
Well, thank you very much. And John, your thoughts on this municipal ID question?
Zorro, the fox who's cunning and free. Zorro, he makes the sign of the Z. You all saw that Zorro when you were kids. And Mayor Zorro is in City Hall right now. I think he's thinking about who's going to run against him and Paul Vallis and maybe others. But the only reason we're here is because Mayor Rahm Emanuel is facing a re-election campaign. So he comes up with this city ID card as a reach out to Latinos after he sat on that Laquan McDonald video and lost support for, among African Americans. We're here for politics, plain and simple. The city ID blurs the distinction between citizen and non-citizen. African Americans, many that I've spoken to, feel they've been stepped over as he reaches for Latinos. The questions about the legality of this ID, the ability of it to control record functions. There's a lot of questions about it, but the main thing is it's political. And it's Zorro.
So you're of the opinion that it's a political ploy to increase the mayor's support in the Latino communities of Chicago.
I've been, learned from the masters in this room. The people that I respect always taught me from left and right, from the Daily's Donovan, on the Washington, all of them, who benefits from a policy?
Can I interrupt? I'm sorry. I don't
okay, Michelle?
Be disrespectful in any way, but I just have a couple of comments as to what was said. So I don't think this ID in any way, at least when the community came together with the city clerk and sat down, number of groups, community groups came together with the city clerk with the idea of having this ID in order to provide, with the idea in mind that the ID would provide access to better services and support, like I mentioned, not only to the community that I work with, but to many others. And yes, of course, it includes immigrants, it includes transgender, it includes LGBTQ, homeless, many others. However, I don't think that the mayor's support, has been said, is something that we should be focusing on. I think we need to ground ourselves in the fact that this idea is going to support the community. It's going to be helpful for our community, who is the ones that are most in need of the services and supports that the city can provide and that require an ID, right? Let me just give you a quick example. I work with individuals who need an ID, for example, when accessing services to move from a nursing home to their own home because obviously they want to live in the community. One of the support services that they might need, aside from housing and needing the ID for the housing piece, when they're locating housing, is also home modifications. This program requires an ID, and it's a city program. For the individuals that I work with, many of them, like Tanya mentioned, don't have access to an ID. So helping them have this ID or having access to this ID has been the greatest thing that I think the city has embarked on. because it's going to support a lot of people in our city, and it's also going to have more people come to the city who might be willing to support this and the work that we do. And I think it's a good thing. So I just wanted to leave it at that.
Okay, thank you. Well, we're not going to leave it at that. I'm sure we'll pick up on it.
No, my conversation.
Maze Jackson.
Let me. So I got to. So bear with me just a second. First of all, I heard the community. Can I back up really quickly? I want to take a moment to acknowledge Melody Span Cooper, who is the president and chairman of WVON 1690. Melody, raise your hand. Because Melody allows us to have these conversations, which are sometimes uncomfortable. So let me start here. First of all, we hear this word, the community. The community. The community. The community oftentimes is code for black when we're talking, but then when the distribution of the resources come, then it doesn't necessarily go to black people, it goes to the rest of the community. When we talk about all of the rest of the people that are going to benefit from this program, we are value adds, fundamentally. When you talk about, and as I listened to all of the things that people are, this card will make available because they don't have access to it, the question that keeps coming to my mind is why? Why don't they have access to? Why don't, now, people will, to pacify black folks, they're going to say it's the returning citizens. But really, how many returning citizens is it? Really, when you say we're going to encourage more people to come here to do the work, what, who are those people and what work are we talking about? As I continue to drive through my neighborhood, I look at work sites and I see black folks not working. I hear the narrative of black people don't want to work. These are jobs that people wouldn't take, at the same time that I'm hearing the fight for 15. And it's not congruent. The fact of the matter is, we are, this city ID serves two purposes, right? It serves the purpose of, one, encouraging those people to come. And when I say those people, please make sure that I didn't mean that offensively. Because it is to encourage undocumented immigrants to come from the shadows, right? It also, let's be clear, we've seen them say that this ID is not to be used for voting, but it can be used to get you a voter ID card. So I'm not slow, right? We're not slow. We see what's going on, and we know that the mayor has a challenge with a group that he would have ordinarily been able to count on. So as I ask this question, when we talk about this city ID, and we ask it all the time on the WVON morning show, what's in it for the black people? What do we get out of this ID? And I think that oftentimes black folks are talked about as though we're not in the room. We are a commodity to be traded. But we don't, no one is saying, who was in the community that said we need a municipal ID? It seems to me that we're saying somebody else who these services exist is not doing their job to get people those services. Not, let's not create another layer. I apologize.
So, Maze, you're suggesting, and then we'll move on, yes, with this thought, that this municipal ID may possibly lead to what some have suggested, potential vote fraud.
Let's not call it vote fraud. Let's call it, there is a systemic plan across the country to really, as black folks continue to wake up and say, dang, I have not gotten very much out of my vote, there is a changing dynamic. We know that the country is becoming browner. So we saw what Lyndon Baines Johnson did, right, in the 60s with the Voting Rights Act and all of the actions he took. And what did he say? I'll have them voting for me for the next X number of years. So I see the same thing, just the 2018 edition.
Okay, Tanya, you want to respond?
Yeah, hey, how y'all doing? My name is Tanya again.
We know that already. stick to the subject, please.
I just want to comment. the color doesn't have nothing to do with the ID. We're trying to build bridge a gap. Color don't have nothing to do with it. I think the ID again will be good because an individual needs to be identified. So you telling me that this individual that's laying dead on the ground doesn't have no kind of ID at all? They need ID out there walking around in case a black man or a black woman or any color. Color don't have nothing to do with it. If an individual gets stopped by the police, they don't have an ID. So now what do the police have to do? They have to take that individual to the police station to run fingerprints on that individual. And this ID would also help reduce crime. Because the people that come home, it's hard for them to get an ID. So what they going to go do? They going to go commit another crime. It will help stop the recidivism as well. An individual going back and forth to jail.
Can I
have
stop
there been any studies on that? That's kind of a revolutionary,
get a job,
an interesting
to
idea.
Enroll in school.
Huh? Tanya, have there been any studies on that? That if I have a municipal ID, I'm less likely to go out and hijack a car, commit a crime,
no,
etc.?
No, it's not, but I'm just saying, if they come home and the first thing they want is a job when they come home. That's the first thing that they want. And they don't have an ID to get a job.
Might I suggest, instead of creating a new layer then, that we increase the funding for the Secretary of State's office and that we then expand the use of, we know that Mr. White is clearly the
Secretary
most popular.
Secretary White's all for that, by the
right,
way.
So I'm sure he is. So I think it would create more jobs and more opportunities. But I'm suggesting why not increase the budget of the Secretary of State as compared to creating a whole nother ID that we're going to create another bureaucracy. And again, really, it's a marketing budget that is going to be used because it's going to be a poster in every office and every campaign. There's going to be TV spots, etc. It's a reelection tool. Let's be clear.
Why isn't
John, go ahead.
Why isn't the treasurer here? City Club, I ask you, why isn't, the clerk, why isn't she here?
I don't know. We asked several times we were turned down. She couldn't fit in her schedule or whatever.
Okay. No further questions, Your Honor.
I can hear.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. Okay. This is political. You guys are all political people. Everyone here is political in some degree. Come on, man. It's political. The access living, the offenders issue, the ex-offenders issue, all those are legitimate. No one's being critical of people, advocates trying to help their groups. But the larger thing is it's political. He's running for re-election. They rushed this thing through, and he's got issues. If I sat down with every table in this room, I would say that most of you would agree. It's political, plain and simple.
Okay, moving along.
And somebody could take notes and tell Ron what I just said, so he doesn't have to watch the tape.
He's watching.
In addition to if this program goes, and what kind of services would people be allowed to access? I've heard rumors that the mayor is trying to arrange with drug companies, theaters, sporting venues, that people with these ID cards could get a reduced admission or lower costs on their legal drugs and so on.
Oh.
Okay, so there's a lot of benefits that the card provides. They were said that they're looking in the near future that it would help support individuals who need medication. That obviously, like I can tell you from my own experience, if I have the ID and I could use this as a discount, obviously I would use it, right? Because medications are for individuals who need them. At least in the populations that I work with, and even for my own self, are very expensive. So if we could have some sort of discount, obviously we're going to take advantage of it. So that's where that was going. Also, another discounts and services that the ID would have is entries to museums. Again, by discounted entries, right? So those are some of the supports and services that the city would offer. But like, again, I mentioned before, that for somebody who is going from a nursing home to getting their own housing, they need to make sure that their housing is accessible. So this ID would allow somebody to access the accommodation services that the city also has to offer. So that's why I think another reason why this ID is important, at least for many of those in my community. Also, it has the very unique thing that I think is perfect is that it has your Ventra and your library card in one. So it's basically an all-in-one card that would be very efficient and easy to use as a person with a disability or not. I think having... Can you hear me? Because I can't be leaning forward. So it's very easy for me to access the card. Sorry. Thank you. It's easier to have just one card as opposed to multiple cards. So I think that's another convenient aspect of the card, aside from all the, if you may, perks that it has with the discounts to different entities and services. So this will allow other, like, everyone to be able to access these.
Okay, thank you very much, Michelle. Mays, you want to reply to some of those
just
points?
Just real quick, and I think, you know, I spent years in marketing, and one of the things that people, if I'm a marketer, I would much rather have something that is mandated as compared to something optional, right? So when you think about a driver's license or a matricula or whatever you get, if you want to market that and sell that to advertisers, you probably make a tremendous amount more money and get a lot more because, again, everybody's got to have a driver's license or et cetera. Again, I think we keep looking at this situation and we talk about all these perks and all these values and everything else that's being added, but it all boils back down to the same thing. Why can you not have access to these things that already exist? And that is fundamentally, we are recruiting a population and we are trying to bring them from the shadows and then blur the lines. And after the lines are blurred, then, you know, we start looking around and we're saying, what's really happening? And I just think we've got to be honest. We don't have an honest dialogue about what's really happening because that's not politically correct to say what's happening. But fundamentally, if you ask black folks, not the people that are kind of signed on to the program, but the guy that's in the street, yeah, they're going to take the perks. But why wouldn't you just add those to the things that they already got to get? They got to go to another process to get this other thing when they stood in line. I just think you've got a mandated program already. Use the mandated program.
Can I add a couple things to that just real quick?
So, well, absolutely. Things, go ahead.
Two things. You said about the driver's license and the matricula. So the matricula is only given to those who come from Mexican descent. So not, there's, the matricula is not available to everyone. This ID is available to everyone and has the perks that comes with it, of course, right? Also, the driver's license. Not many of us can drive because of, you know, in my instance, because of disability, I can't drive. But obviously, I would still want those. I need the ID, again, for the supports and services, and why not? The added benefits that come with the ID, right?
Okay, could you limit your remarks somewhat so we can cover more ground, please, for the entire panel? Tanya, did you want to respond? Thank you, Michelle.
Yes, I think it will be good for all the communities, and it will be accessible tool for individuals.
Now, a question directed towards you might very well be, excuse me, John. Why can't the prisons give the prisoners leaving an ID card?
Well, that will be up to the prisons to create that budget within the inside. That way,
so someone's going to have to pay for this. There are no free rides. If you go to discounts or whatever, it's picked up on the other end. So this discount, it's like health care. There are people who have insurance. There are people who don't have insurance and so on. Those who do or are self-payers end up paying greater costs to cover those who don't have insurance. How would this impact with this ID card, this municipal ID? Now, John, do you want to deal with that?
Why should... I don't understand exactly.
Why can't the prisons give out this kind of an ID card? Sheriff Dart and so on?
If Tom Dart's picture's on it, I'm sure he'd put it out. Look, didn't we just have a debate recently where we can't have a voter ID card because it'll be all sorts of, you know, it's going to cost too, it's going to be inconvenient to our people. It's going to be a voter ID card would be inconvenient. Now we're doing that, right? Which this will be, can be used for voter registration. And all those of you who've worked a precinct on election day, you tell me when people come in with the city ID card, what will Democratic election judges do? Especially if they're in an organization that's supposed to, that has endorsed Mayor Zorro. It's a question that all this stuff hasn't been established.
So Illinois happens to be a signature-only state.
Correct.
A voter comes in to vote. They don't have to show, or a prospective voter, they don't have to show any ID at all, but we compare their signature to the signature when they first registered to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, do you believe undocumented immigrants would come in and try to register to vote?
I don't think that burden should be on people who are questioning the viability of the card. I want people to get services, okay? The Safer Foundation, Tanya's group, and the other groups that want service, I want people to get services. I think they could get services from the county, Cook County. Cook County is where the health services come in and where almost all these services come in, not the city, number one. But we have to have a card for city. Why? So I could get a discount to go to the museum? Okay, fine. To your question about voter, those who are questioning this shouldn't be put in a position to oppose or support. This should be a policy that's clearly understood. And the fact that we're still questioning about it while after Mayor Emanuel has unveiled the card tells you all you need to know. There's nothing clear about it. It's all murky, and that's by design.
Okay, thank you. You know, I think I read in the paper over the weekend or somewhere that you might use this card if you were getting married or filing a police report. Do you need an ID to get married? Do you need an ID to file a police report?
You know what? For a black guy, you need an ID for everything.
And by the way, Mays, you and I know that it's illegal in the state of Illinois to be on the street without a form of identification.
Exactly. And we've known that is what happens. You know, I just think, guys, we keep going back and it's a circular kind of firing squad. Everybody keeps saying, oh, the value add, oh, I'm going to get this perk, et cetera. But nobody is really saying what addressing the 800-pound gorilla in the room, which is this card is really to, as we talk about bringing people out of the shadows, who are those people? And no, I don't think that the average undocumented immigrant who has this card is going to say, let me go vote. But I think that we are from Chicago, and we know that there are more nefarious people out there who will say, hey, you know what? Let's organize a group of these guys with these cards and march them into a polling place. Hey, we do have a signature only requirement now. So if somebody does say, hey, let me ask you, flash that ID, I'm not asking a second question. I'm going to say, go ahead.
Especially if you're a Democratic judge in a city where the mayor is the mayor. You're not that. I just don't see it happening.
Well, I mean, I think in Cook County, are there any Republicans in Cook County? You can. It's hard to find them on election day. Let me just say that. So, you know, I think that when we look at this, and I think from the perspective of black folks, and John, I talked about it in your article, but again, we're looking at this and we're saying, wait a minute, we're going to make all of these special accommodations. So you're telling me that if we know that the undocumented, at the black guys were getting out of jail and they couldn't get an ID, we never took a move. We knew that we never made a move to fix that. Now, if we had our disabled community and they were having all these challenges with access to services, we never made a move to fix it. Why? Because the math is different now. Your math doesn't count. Your math doesn't count. But when you start saying that half of our, how many undocumented immigrants are in the city of Chicago? When you start counting, and in Chicago, we know how to count. And so when you start counting, somebody's got to say, dag nabbit, I got to figure out, how do I get this group over here? And the largest and fastest growing group of people right now is the undocumented population. And when you see the mayor get up and fight Trump and make everything about Trump and say, this is a welcome and a sanctuary city. And every time I hear that, somebody black says to me, where is our sanctuary? Where is our opportunity? And I just think that as you continue to have these conversations, the Democratic Party has fundamentally used the black political capital to push forward an agenda that is not reflective of the base of their party, which is black people. That's all. I'm sorry.
You know,
John, and then I want to move us along for a couple minutes.
I didn't want to come up here and forget something that I wanted to say about those who've been writing about this. Laura Washington from the Sun-Times wrote an excellent piece a while back about African Americans as the original dreamers. And she kind of helped start this thing going. I just wanted to give a hat tip to Laura on that.
Can I just say something really quick? I know we have to move on, but really
quick. Yes, sure, go ahead.
I hear the conversations, but I feel that, sorry. I feel that, for me at least, it's problematic to hear the fact that there's like, divide among communities, like, or that's how they want it to be, or it's being said or prompted. And we shouldn't be dividing communities. We should be working together, which is what we ultimately are here for. Because we are all here in this room, but instead of debating whether this card is going to be good for one community or the other, it's good for all of our communities in one way or another, or, you know, it benefits all of us ultimately. And if it needs more work into it, we're not, I think that's what the focus should be, not whether it serves one community or one population, not the other. I mean, those are just, you know, of course, more so my thoughts, but I think that's where we should be grounded again. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let me try to move this a little bit beyond the boundary of Chicago. There are communities outside of Chicago which have heavy Hispanic, African American, and other populations. Is there any movement to adopt a program like this, let's say in Berwyn or Cicero, Wheeling, any of the communities like that, or does this seem to be only the city of Chicago? And would would it be accepted by the state of Illinois for various instances where you need an ID? Any thoughts on that?
It will only be for the city of Chicago.
Only for the city of Chicago.
Yes.
The question about the city ID and why I keep telling you it's a political stunt, and I don't mean to get hit with the D word, divisive, but the reason there's an issue, I don't know if the record keeping is fully understood. City takes your records. Who is that person that's holding that card? Is it John Cass, or is it someone else who could use that information? We don't, that stuff, if you're going to do it on the state level, for real real services and as an identification, it has to be sort of, everything has to be meshed together in terms of the information gathering and record holding. But this is not. This is like, Rom loves me. Rom loves me.
Can I just touch on the divisive thing real quick? Because, you know, it always seems that the conversation, when we start talking about our self-interest, you heard that, self-interest, right? When black folks start talking about their self-interest, then we start talking about being divisive, right? So now we are, again, remember I told you about that word community, right? So when you hear the word community, that's the code word for black people. But then, right, now this ID that's good for the community has now already been split up by everybody, and we get the prison piece, right? That, do you? And so as we talk about being divisive, again, it is not about being divisive, but literally asking what's in it for the black people. Look, you have not made us a priority as it relates to getting these IDs and making sure that this population that now everybody is so concerned with has not been a priority until now. We're in a situation where, I can't necessarily count on the base, so I got to start creating this new base. And I just, black folks have a right to ask about their self-interest in all of these things. Who got the contract? What was our cut on the distribution? Who got the marketing? Who got the advertising? Is it running on WVON? Is it in black papers? What is our cut? No one has told us why this benefits us, except for I can go to the museum. And can't I do that with a library card?
Mays, come to tomorrow's luncheon. We're going to deal with some of those issues. But let's come back to this a second. There's a comment here from Luis Narvaez, who's with the Chicago Public Schools, brand new City Club member. He says, undocumented immigrants cannot vote. What's so hard to understand about this? The ID doesn't change this.
The questioner is correct. What the ID does from a political point of view is blur the distinction between citizen and non-citizen. That's what it does. I'm not making a judgment here. I'm just doing an analysis. That's okay. What it does.
Tanya, I know you want to get in on this.
Yeah. Why everything got to be about color?
Or race.
I know, right? Everything is color, 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 color. For one, we've been actually working on this ordinance since 2015. So I don't think that the race or the voting or people, the mayor has nothing to do with this. We have been working on this ordinance for a while. And color don't have nothing to do with it at all. No, we all together. We all are human beings.
So you came up with that. Y'all were working on coming up with an ID.
We've been working on this for a while, and the race or the voting, the election don't have nothing to do with it at all.
Well, we don't want to get into a discussion now, given the time, about when people actually started working on this. We have time for two last questions. This is from Dan Hostetler, who's affiliated with the Above and Beyond Family Recovery Center. His question is, how can this be administered to the homeless populations of Chicago? How will this ID program reach out to the homeless populations?
Either one. I talk. Actually, the individual that's out there homeless, it will help them get other documents that they need. Because when you're creating a paper, when they don't have, for one, you need a Social Security card, or you need a voter's registration card or a birth certificate to apply for identification, and you need proof of address as well. So if they have this one piece of ID that can help them, just to give them a head start on something, because then they have to, some of them are isolated in their communities. They don't want to go to the DMV to get an ID, or they might not have transportation to get there to get an ID. So if this is so if this ID is accessible for them, if the ID is accessible in for them, I think for the homeless individual.
There was one comment that there is a free ride program that could take people. The other
maybe
comment,
they don't have Social Security or have that or have a disability.
Okay,
to get
ma'am,
that car.
Ma'am, please. Can if I you comment? Had a question, we invited you to write it on a piece of paper.
To get that ride permit, so they need to be on Social Security or have a disability in order for them to get that card. So this person that's homeless don't have nothing, no money, no SSI, no nothing. They don't have it.
The question was, how would you reach
permit.
Tanya? How would you reach these people? Are you going to go to the lower level of Wacker Drive, for example, where there are a number of homeless, and have them sign up, sort of like, in John's word, precinct captain signing up newly registered
you
voters?
Call it outreach.
So that's why these agencies are built in these communities to serve these individuals and to let them know what services and what's out here available for them. That's why it's these agencies in the communities to help an individual out.
Okay, final question. This is from Daniel Radowitz, City Club member. Assuming that city IDs would cost something and the city must prioritize spending, what program or programs would each of you be willing to reduce or eliminate in order to fund the ID program?
Latino.
Who wants to take that one on and get us started?
I'll start.
John?
There was just in the Gold Coast, in Rom City, there were people shot in the Gold Coast the other day. Carjackings in the Gold Coast. So why not take away a police car or two? And then they could, or you could blame it on Mayor Daley if he wants.
No.
I don't. There are a lot of things you could do, but I don't know if this is one. And if it's an important project, if it's so important, why isn't, again, the mayor's not here, and you're always welcome, the city clerk is not here. So, I mean, that's
okay,
it.
Okay, good. Michelle, do you want to respond to that? What program would you cut?
So I think it's not about cutting programs because I think they are needed, right? But I think it's about knowing where the money should be shifted. Like, there's a lot of the money that we know that are, you know, maybe the governor or other services that are not necessarily community-led. Thank you. So I think we should focus again, and yes, I'm going to say community because that's what I or who I work for and with, because I want my community to have the services and supports they need. So anything that is there for them is that should never be cut. But if there's extra money that our governor or anyone else has that could bring. They can bring to the table and support this program and make it greater, then that's what we need. So that's what I just...
Okay, so you're saying that there's fat out there in some government budgets and we can use that money. You don't want to cut anything good. Mays?
All I know is it better not affect black folks, right? So here's what's going to happen. You're going to cut the budget in some kind of way. We're going to be on the south side of Chicago, and they're going to be like, you know, we had a budget cut, and some kind of way the money will be shifted around. Look, as we talk about this municipal ID, as we continue to talk about all of these programs that roll out, I'm going to keep asking the same question. What is in it for the black people? I see no benefit right now. I say again, as I said before, let's expand Secretary of State Jesse White's budget. Let's make sure he gets some more money. Let's build some more resources, and let's go that way. But
so you're suggesting it become a state program rather than just the city of Chicago.
So you
program.
Leave the city of Chicago boundaries, and now you back in the same. What happens when you move because you can't afford to live
right.
here anymore?
Okay. John, if you could, or Tanya, would you cut something out of the sheriff's budget or out of law enforcement, criminal justice, that's a big hunk of the county budget.
No budget. We create everything else. Why not create an ID that will help an individual out?
And no one's against helping out, but the question that we were asked was, how are you going to pay and how are you going to fund for this? Okay, I'd like to thank our panel for their presentation.